All right, going down to L.A. where he is. He's the host of Chronicle Live. He's on assignment right now.
Nice.
But a great baseball guy, and we love him up here in the Bay Area. He's with us all the time, and that is Jim Cosimore, Comcast Sportnet Bay Area. Jim, how are you today?
Guys, I'll tell you something. You better believe I'm here and ready. I'm enjoying just listening to you two. I might want to just be hanging out there in the public house and just enjoying the day right now.
There's my man, Coz. You got the bow tie on yet, Jim?
It's almost ready. I'm going to save that.
Yeah.
You know what? I've got a special orange bow tie, and we know when that one comes out, guys. We know when that will come out.
Very good, Jim.
Jim, what about this series? And you and I have talked about it on Chronicle Live, and you do such a good job of hosting that show. This series, Reds, Giants, what's the key for you? How do you see it going?
I think the key is going to be what everyone on the Giants side says, and that is what happens after Game 2. How is Bruce Bochy going to work his guys? How much leash does he give the Game 3 and Game 4 starters? How does he handle that pitching staff, and can the bullpen be a big piece to it? Clearly, you need something from your starters in Games 1 and 2, but I think if you're a Giants fan and you've watched the season, you feel very comfortable with Matt Cain getting the bump on Game 1 and just as good with Mad Bum. I know guys have had ebbs and flows, but I think having the experience of a couple of years ago puts the Giants in good shape. I'm just concerned starting in Game 3.
Well, as long as you bring it up, I think Game 3, and look, we've talked about it on the show all year long, and this is the time of year that you have to produce. And for Tim Lincecum, where the bright lights are going to come on, I think it depends what's going to happen in Game 1 and 2 to see if we're going to see him in the third game.
Okay.
Really? That's interesting because I will tell you something, and I know that that people remember 2010, but those first two home games, I like having them. I like in the five-game set having the first two in your ballpark, and I like the fact that the Giants in this core group, the guys who understood what happened in 2010, I really think it bodes well for them. There's always going to be concern in any series, and I know we all have ours, and it's certainly going to come when they have to go back to Cincinnati. But, man, these first two games are so important to jump out and to really get some dominant performances. I would love to see Matt Cain come out and dominate early and not have to go to that where Bruce Bochy keeps checking his card and walking out to the mound and going righty-lefty, righty-lefty. I just don't want him to overuse guys in the beginning. I want Matt Cain to show some dominance, and I want Mad Bum to show some dominance. And I'm not worried about the offense, guys. I think the offense showed, as you came down the stretch, that they've got what it takes to put runs on the board at home. I think they've cracked the code, and I think at home they're going to be a pretty darn good ball club in these first two.
Boy, nice to have Jim Cosimore with us, host of Chronicle Live on Comcast Sportnet Bay Area. Jim, I look at Buster Posey, and Pat said it, Joey Votto MVP last year. He's been hurt this year.
Yep.
Posey having the fabulous season. He should get MVP here. It should be a foregone conclusion. Those ballots are already in. But the guys behind Buster Posey, for me, that's the key to the offense. I realize Pagan and Scudero can do their thing, but I think it's after Posey because you're facing tough pitchers, Jim, and you've got Hunter Pence. Then you've got Belt. Then you've got Blanco. Then you've got Crawford. Then you've got the pitcher. This is not a designated hitter league. You got to do some damage after that four spot, and for me, that's going to be the determining part of scoring runs for this ball club.
To me, Hunter Pence is going to be a huge piece to that puzzle. They brought him in with to drive in runs, and he's got that potential to do it, and I think he's going to have those situations. I do understand that guys are very confident with what Buster is going to do for you when he swings the bat. You mentioned a few guys who have been swinging the bat well, and you're right, it's going to be the ancillary guy. But maybe it is Belt, maybe it is Pence, maybe it is one of those guys. And by the way, mentioning Belt, I like the way that guy's swinging the bat.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Question is going to be, is he going to be on the field if they decide to go to Hector Sanchez behind the plate? Are they going to ask Buster to catch every game? Are those answers clear now, or are those still in murky waters, Marty?
Well, I'm going to answer that for you. If there's no Tim Lincecum in Game 3, and I think there's still why Bruce Bochy is not named the starter for Game 3, because that's still up in the air. Mm-hmm. No Tim Lincecum in Game 3. If it goes that way, no Hector Sanchez, because I think you'll have Posey catch Vogelsong, or you'll have Posey catch Zito.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, you think Posey will catch Zito too, huh?
I think, well, it depends on how the series is going, and, you know, defensively and offensively, is Blanco striking out all the time? Maybe Nady is a guy that you don't save that one bullet of Xavier Nady for that one pinch hitting role against Sean Marshall. maybe you want Xavier Nady to have three at-bats. Maybe you want that to happen. So, yeah, I think as this thing develops later on in this series, yeah, I think there's a heck of a chance that Posey stays at catcher.
You know what? You know, it's interesting. We're mentioning Xavier Nady as the guy who could be that X-factor role for this team. And you know what? The funny thing is, that's kind of how they can win. Sure, we know the constant, which is a Buster Posey. But throughout the year, we've seen different guys have those moments where they, at the right time, made the play. We saw earlier, hey, everyone gets down on the shortstop, one of the two Brandons. But Crawford during the year, I know he didn't hit well for the entire 162, but there were times when he helped this team. And so maybe there is magic left in a bat from Xavier Nady. And who would have thought that even 2 months ago? You know, that guy could be an important piece to the puzzle for Bruce Bochy's team. But I think that's part of the magic as well. And getting back to the Buster, because I think we keep circling back to it, I don't know, because the season has been so fun, I don't know if we're appreciating the greatness that Buster has gone through in 2012. Remember, Marty, when we were back in February at spring training,
right,
we were worried the guy couldn't go first to third and hit the second base cushion.
That's right.
And make the turn hard on that ankle. And all of a sudden, he's a leader for the MVP candidate. That is quite an arc.
Oh, it's an amazing story. And Jim Cozumore with us, Pat here. Everyone, nice to have you out here.
Glad to have you all.
I always like looking out. Coz, you know, you do these things out here at the Plaza. You know that,
sure,
on Chronicle Live. It's just great. I like seeing everybody. I really do. It's like I'm in my living room just talking baseball with you out here.
But it's you and 40,000 of your
yeah,
favorite
Yeah, really. Some of my best friends are here today.
Wait till you see Marty in Mexico with his board shorts on talking ball.
All right.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
But I want this Posey thing, and, you know, we'll say it again just to get it out of the way here. When we left spring training in April, we thought maybe he'd catch two games a week. They never caught him back-to-back. No one knew what could happen. Would the ankle hold up? It is one of the amazing sports stories of San Francisco sports history, and I'll put it in that category of players who have done amazing things in San Francisco sports history. You give me someone better than that over the course of a season. You give me Joe Montana.
Sure.
You can give me Barry Bonds. You can give me Rick Barry. You can give me a whole bunch of people. And I'm telling you something, you got to go a long way to top what Buster Posey
right.
did.
Yeah.
Even if you can't, someone will want to give you the argument. The point is, the guys you are naming are champion winners who
good
are
point.
At the heights of they're at the heights of where they are in Bay Area sports, and then take that to the next level of their sport in its entirety. That will qualify what Buster Posey's season is like, even if people want to just have the debate. To be mentioned in the names of Joe Montana and Rick Barry and guys who have won at the highest level and come back from different whatever the outside influence was, because Joe Montana came back when he was hurt later in his career and did a pretty darn good job, too.
Yeah.
But you're right. Buster Posey deserves to be, right now, for such a young guy, in that grouping of champions with Bay Area athletes.
Yeah, Ricky Henderson, Jerry Rice, put him in with Kenny Stabler. I don't care who. There's no
Ricky
one.
Ricky Henderson. Yeah,
his season stands with everybody.
Hey, Jim, I got to ask you. You talked about magic in the bat. And I don't want to dust over Buster Posey. He's really made me a believer this year, and you could just tell that he really leads this team, undisputed leader of the team. But you talked about Nady and hoping that there's some magic in his bat. I want to know what you and Marty think about Aubrey Huff and if he may have a little magic left in the bat from the left-handed side. To me, he seems like a unidimensional option coming off the bench here for Aubrey Huff. What do you think about that roster spot for Huff?
You know, I got to be honest with you. I don't think that that was somebody for a while. I don't think it's somebody that has been on the radar. While the guy has been a part of the greatest magic in recent Giants history, maybe having him around could be beneficial. I think anything, Pecan, anything you get from him is going to be icing on the cake. Marty, you're around this team far more than I am, but I just think as an outsider looking in, as much as you want everyone to contribute and everyone to produce and know that everyone might have a little bit of magic, sure, Aubrey Huff was as central to the magic that happened in 2010,
sure,
but maybe the time has passed right now, and maybe for his moment is that last gasp moment, and let's hope it just doesn't come down to that. Nothing against him. Hey, he was part of a brilliant time for the Giants. I think this is a new time, though, Marty. How do you see it?
I see it that he's got to be on the team.
Really?
There's no question in my mind.
Wait, they don't have a runner to take over for him at first?
I don't care. You got to have
him. Wow, okay.
I'm going to tell you why. Okay. It could be 4-3 Reds in the sixth inning. Cueto's on the mound. Mm-hmm. And you got bases loaded, the pitcher's spot coming up, and there's a righty on the mound, and you got to put a lefty up to pinch hit. You're not putting Hector Sanchez up because you can't burn him because he's
sure.
the second catcher.
Right.
You have no lefty. He is your lefty. For better or worse, till death do us part, he is the lefty. For the San Francisco Giants.
Right.
And you got to have him. You got to scare Dusty Baker. Maybe he won't bring in a lefty to face him. Maybe he'll say, well, Huff can't hit Cueto.
Okay.
I will leave him. But you got to make him think about it. And you've got to have a pinch hitter ready at that point. Now, as you guys point out, if it's 2-2 in the eighth inning,
Oof.
And Broxton is in,
yep.
and Huff comes in, and they don't want to bring Marshall in, and Huff hits against Broxton 2-2, he gets a walk or he gets a base hit. Now you got to bunt him over. Maybe score him from second, then you want to pull him out and put in Lincecum or Kane or Vogelsong to pinch run for him. That's a collision at the plate I don't want to see.
No, man.
And that's where they're rolling the dice, Jim.
Okay.
They're taking that extra pitcher for comfort that they've done for the last 2 months, and that's the way they've won this division, by the comfort of Bruce Bochy having all these players. And they're sacrificing the pinch runner for that. And it's the old balance test, and that's where they went with it.
Could I rewind this conversation? A great point you just made about that's what got Bochy and the Giants through the latter part of the season, the number of different changes he could make. Would you be in favor in the month of September? You can expand your roster, whoever you want to put on the bench, but every game day you have to designate 25 guys?
No. It'd be too crazy.
No,
you can't do that.
Why not? Hey,
every day.
If I've got 35 guys, I could change pitchers every time from the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning for every batter. I don't want that. Make it 25 guys. You trim it to 25 guys. You can have 35 or 40 on the roster. 25 guys on day of game in the month of September when you have all your call-ups.
Well, all right. I mean, look, you can make an argument both ways for it. My argument is that it's been something in baseball they've done for so many years,
okay.
and it can be abused. It gives you a chance to bring people up, to see people, to reward people in the organization. Your point is it changes the competitiveness of baseball,
correct.
And that's your point. It may be. I mean, your point is very well-founded. It's good. My point is we've seen it for years. I don't think it's that detrimental. And I think, you know, it's all right. You know, there's teams that are out of it that have nothing to play for, and you're going to force them for 25 guys and maybe not show them the ability to bring rookies up, which could help them next year.
They'll still be up. It's just that day there's only 25 designated guys. So
all right.
if you've added Christian and you've added Umbry and you've
sure.
added Brown – they might be in the lineup on Tuesday, but on Wednesday, while they're training with the club, they're not in the lineup. They're not part of the 25-man roster.
Okay. All right. No, it's well-founded what you said.
Yeah.
And if baseball wants to go that way. Jim Cozumore with us. Another great baseball discussion. It's like being on Chronicle Live with him.
Absolutely.
Right,
I love Jim at 5 o'clock. Jim is part of my 5 o'clock
Come
routine.
On.
Love
it's
him,
great
man.
Great stuff. I've enjoyed all
From
all,
Revolution
all
to a bunch of Luchadero masked wrestlers to all the good Bay Area sports stuff, man. Jim's my guy.
I like when he did the World Championship of Jet Skis the other day.
Yeah.
And the World Championship will be held at Cabo San Lucas
yes.
by the Villa del Arco
yes.
Hotel.
Yeah.
Believe me, I've seen him out
okay.
there.
Okay.
All right. What did you think of the wild card format that allowed this one game playoff to knock a team out? What's your take on that?
My take on it is it was great for the regular season because it made us watch more teams, more games, and make more games more important. But once we got to the one-game playoff, it took all that enjoyment away. And we saw the craziness of what one game can do. It's interesting because everyone's going to focus on the bad call by the umpire, and that's a big piece to it. An umpire makes one call and changes the season. But we've also forgotten that in one game, one of the best fielding teams in the National League, the Atlanta
best.
Braves,
the best
National League defensive team,
yep.
committed three errors. And really, that's what lost him the game, but we're focusing on an umpire's call. One game can change everything, whether it's a call or one team through 162 playing so well, but then on one day not having it. So it was very difficult to watch. I will say the Texas Baltimore game, that one game, when it comes down to it, you could read the stress on the Texas Rangers' faces.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
And it changes everything. One game, if it's a one-game playoff, changes the whole dynamic. So I will tell you, it was very difficult to watch yesterday.
You were right, too, Jim. Chipper Jones alluded to as much. No, not alluded to. He literally said it wasn't about that one awful call about the infield fly rule. He said, man, those three throwing errors, one of them being from the future Hall of Famer, Chipper. So that ruined a 162-game season for the Braves, but they did it to themselves, so it's hard to really have a lot of sympathy for him.
I like the shot of Nolan Ryan at the end of the game and that face, when he makes that face. I like that because I've seen that face in the 2010 World Series.
I know. And last year.
It was all over. Yeah. I like that.
How about Joe Saunders coming up big? I didn't expect that.
Never won in Texas before.
Oh, that was shocking.
All right. Hey, Jim, I know you've got places to go, and I appreciate you taking the time, and you got everybody out here on the patio fired up. Let's hear it for Jim Cosimore.
Oh, you guys
That's
are great.
My guy right there.
Yeah, very good. Jim, thanks so much, and look forward to seeing you back here next week.
Best of luck. Can't wait to get back to the Bay Area. In fact, I think I'm going to try to sneak into game two tomorrow. Let's see what goes on.
All right, we'll see. We'll see you up in the press box.
Right on, Jim.
Right, Jim Cosimore, nice to have him with us on Comcast Sports.
That's a great job, man.
Bay Area Chronicle Live, always a lot of fun.